This is the Cardboard Cave Podcast. You are fools, go!
Yes, I did. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cardboard Cave Podcast. Once again, we got myself, Chris, at the helm. And today we are going to be talking about some very fun things that have happened in Magic over the last few days. But first off, I'd like to introduce our lovely hosts, starting with the Master of the Cube, the Master of Dark Arts, JP.
Hey, I am back here in the altar.
Got our buddy laying down on the altar, and next up we got the very famous award-winning director with like 3 Oscars already at this point, Alejandro Orengo. How you doing, my guys?
Yo, what's up?
Doing good, doing good. All right, so let's start this up real quick then. First thing that we had on the list of priorities today was the leaks that we got for Lord of the Rings, am I right?
Yep.
Let's go. So for those of you who don't already know, looks like we got someone who went through one of the dumpsters in the place where they were printing out like this the material for the upcoming Lord of the Rings set, and amongst all of the trash sheets, they were able to recover these 3 beautiful images that I'm gonna be that should already be up on screen, if I'm not mistaken. Right. There we go. So first off, we got our boy Smeagol over here. Oh, is it Smeagol? It was for Gollum. Gollum, my bad. We got Gollum over here. This one's a really interesting card. We don't know his mana cost yet, but he is a 2/1. Essentially what it does, he smacks in and he kind of does a reverse Goblin Guide kind of deal, right? In which you reveal the top 2 cards, not reveal, you look at the top 2 cards of your library, and then you put them back in any order. Then you have to choose land or non-land, and your opponent has to guess whether the top, basically whether like what you put on top is the land or non-land that you are declaring. And if you reveal it, and it's if the opponent guesses right, essentially, you just take Smeagol out of combat, and you draw the card. Is it? Wait, hold on. I gotta look up the
color. I'm pretty sure you don't do anything, and if they guess wrong, you draw the card and get to deal damage.
No, because then he becomes unblockable. That's why if your opponent guesses it wrong, I know that much. I knew that was the part that I liked about him. Give me 1 second. But while we clarify what Gollum is doing over here, I'm gonna go and move on over to Frodo, Sauron's Bane. He is a 1/2 that comes down for 1 white mana. He's a legendary creature, halfling, what is it? Like a halfling citizen is what he is. You can pay, it's hybrid mana of white or black. And if he is a citizen, he becomes a 2/3 halfling scout with base power and toughness 2/3 and lifelink. And then if you pay, I think it's 3 black, he becomes a halfling ranger with whenever this creature deals damage to a player, that player... Oh, I'm sorry. Like he does like the ring ability, and essentially what it does is, you get tempted by the ring. If you've been tempted by the ring 4 times in the game, you just straight up kill a player. Otherwise, if you haven't been like tempted, well, you just get tempted by the ring. That's essentially it, right? And then we have Aragorn and Arwen betrothed. I assume would be the.
Wed
or something. I'm not 100% sure, but it's in Portuguese over here, so it just tells you, you know, like they're like married or something. They are a human elf noble that comes down for 4 mana, 1 green and 1 white. It's a 3/6 with vigilance, and when it enters the battlefield, you put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. And then you gain 3 life for each, or I think it's for each creature that gets a 1/1 counter, which really cool, like for life gain, but trash mythic so far. It's what I can tell from it.
Like, it's pretty weak.
Funny enough, the two rares that are coming out here, like with the Golem and the Frodo, are, I think, are really, really cool. But then, like, the mythic is absolute garbage. But yeah, what do you guys think?
I guess
I actually like the Frodo a lot.
Frodo's very flavorful.
It's very fun.
It's sort of what you were talking about last week about if he was going to be like a halfling or if he's going to be like the other typing that you guys talked about.
Yeah, a hobbit.
He's a halfling.
No. I'm sorry. Not a hobbit. I mean, the other one. The ones that already exist in magic.
Yeah.
Yes. And when you actually read the card actually functions like a Kitkin. Like a Kithkin, I think it's called.
Yeah. The warrior. The one player's kindly nicknamed Goku.
Exactly.
I didn't know that one. That's
yeah, they named it Goku because you just level him up and he goes Super Saiyan eventually.
And it's not like a level up mechanic. It was before leveling up, I think, because yeah. But essentially kind of functions like that. So it's very flavorful within the world of magics. Like, it's very cool that they kind of like did this mesh of like, yeah, he's a halfling, so it's within like the MTG lore, but then let's just make him a card that's functional to what we used to do with cards of that type. So it's really neat to see. Now, the very interesting part is the ring thing. Yeah, exactly. Figure of this. What's interesting is the ring thing, like the corruption and all that. That's very, very interesting how that's going to factor in.
I'm hoping it's not just like a one thing, like just with Frodo. I really do hope there's more cards in the set that work with the mechanic. That way, just kind of like make it like a thing that maybe is playable in draft. Like, you know, you can actually use it to have like an effect on the game. And I hope it's just a little bit more than just a monarch mechanic, you know? But at the end of the day, I guess that's what I'm guessing it's going to be similar to. Like, sure, you get the red ring, and then maybe even if there aren't any inherent effects from it, like as long as your cards are doing something, like, you know, when you've been corrupted by the ring a certain amount of times or something, I think that's going to be really fun.
If it's like the monarch mechanic, it'll also be like the initiative, and I'm not saying it's going to be broken. But I'm saying it's gonna be broken. Yeah. The reason I say that if it is a similar mechanic is because the monarch mechanic made waves in Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
The initiative mechanic made waves in Vintage and Legacy.
Yeah.
So
like a third mechanic.
If this is something similar, imagine being the monarch, having the initiative, and being tempted by the ring.
Yeah, it's going a little insane. Yeah. But I'll say this. This Lord of the Rings, based on these three cards, it makes it seem like this Lord of the Rings deck is going to be akin to Baldur's Gate for Commander. In so that it's not going to do much. It doesn't seem like it's going to do much. It'll all depend on how the ring mechanic factors into the modern environment. But they do seem like they're not pushed. They seem very flavorful. They seem pretty good. The Aragon is, like you said, is a trash mythic, but those rares, they seem powerful. But that Golem almost seemed like to be a black version of Ravagan, but it's not as pushed. But people are like arguing that it might be. It depends on how you play with it and stuff, but I like that it's not super pushed, because then, you know, collectors are going to want to get it because it's Lord of the Rings, and they'll probably have an impact on Modern, but they won't be like ultra staples that you absolutely need, and then we'll be screwed because since it's an IP that's not owned by MTG and Wizards, they'll only do like the one printing and we'll never see these cards again, and then it'll be a problem.
Yeah, are we like, do we know if we're getting any like magic equivalents of these cards though?
They haven't said anything, but this is a Universes Beyond set, so technically, based on that, they should. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it.
I don't think they will.
Well, I pray they
because
they make something
broken.
Because
this is an actual set and not a specialty thing.
But they did call it a Universes Beyond. Like, it's on the tag, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is Universes Beyond. Like,
it is Universes Beyond,
and you can see it Universes Beyond because the bottom the bottom hollow print is a triangle.
Yeah, but that, but I'm not even worried about that, considering that literally anything that's outside of like Magic's IP is gonna have that triangle anyways, like all the secret layers do and all stuff like that. So that's whatever.
Yeah. But it is called Universes Beyond, and based on what they said last year, I believe it was, or the year prior, they did say that everything Universes Beyond will get magic equivalents eventually. So hopefully this will be the same here, because if they do print something that's kind of broken and everyone needs like four copies of in Modern, it's going to become a huge problem very quickly.
Honestly, if that Golem is just worth one, he could potentially be really fun for like some kind of mono black like aggro strategy. So
mm-hmm. Very true. I think it's probably going to be mono one, because I think they're going to do like the flip side of Frodo. It only makes sense. Like, I don't think this should be like, if that thing is two mana, it'll be unplayable, completely unplayable. It has to be one mana.
Yeah. All right, then. Anything else you guys want to say on these?
Yes.
Yes. Go right ahead.
And I want to mention it, but just mention it, not really deep dive into it.
Sure.
I don't know why people get so mad about this. I understand that in the books, the descriptions are vague enough as to you can identify and sculpt a face characteristics. On your own, and that's what makes books nice, because you could think on how a person is or a character is depending on how they describe it. Mm-hmm. But there is no reason to be this mad about Aragorn being black.
Yeah,
there are so many people that were very, 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 very mad. There is no reason.
Yeah.
Agree. Yeah.
I feel like it's just the controversy you get with any time that they just make a character black, or that there's like a black character on screen, automatically like someone has to be like, oh no, the source material, like they're not black, or there's always something to say about it, even though it shouldn't, and it just really is not a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think that at the very least, the people are getting like the characters, you know. It's not like, I guess, the Lord of the Ring one that they did on Amazon, which is not even based on anything Tolkien, so you can make the argument, oh, you know, it's not even regarding what Tolkien wrote, but this is like the stuff that Tolkien wrote. It's right there. You're seeing the golem. It's like the weird evil creature from like the cave, and you see Frodo with the thing in the ring. So you got your characters, you got like the lore as it is. So I don't understand why you're getting upset when the spirit of the character, it's on display in the art, and the art is really freaking good. Like, I really appreciate the art, like, it's very reminiscent of the animated, I think, 70s movie that came out such a long time ago. It's very reminiscent of that art style, and I really dig it a lot. And I don't like Lord of the Rings. Like, I've said this up front many numerous times, I don't like Lord of the Rings at all, but I can appreciate really good art and being faithful to like the lore through the mechanics that magic provides.
I think that what's really cool about the, like, when, like, just bouncing off of the art itself, mm-hmm. at least with Frodo, I think he has like a real like Renaissance painting feel to him.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Like with the pose and like the lighting they use, I think it's friggin' excellent, man.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But yeah. Any other notes? Anything else you guys wanna go through on this?
I hope they keep spoiling more stuff like this, so Wizards keeps panicking. I love it when it happens in every set. It's great.
All right. So moving on to tonight's second topic. Something really interesting happening these past few days. I didn't really, like, I got to it really late because I was like at work while most of the stuff was going on, and then like everyone just kept posting about it, and it was just like, okay, insane. So some of you might already know. I got a lot of information from this one MTG Rocks article, which huge shout out to them. They helped me keep myself updated with a lot of stuff. That was titled MTG players track down a $250,000 worth of like cards to a dumpster in Texas. To a landfill in Texas. So we're just gonna jump straight into the images. Let's go over here. Give me 1 second. I should actually hold on. Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Well, Chris is pulling up the pictures. So basically, this thread started in r/pics because it's like a random dude who was like throwing stuff from his truck into the landfill, and he saw like the pallets, and I guess he knew like a little bit of magic, and he just took like a couple of pictures of like the pallets, like the uncut, undestroyed pallets. And it was like, oh, I saw like a bunch of pallets of magic in the landfill. And then he left. And then it blew up because he didn't understand how much money, because he took like a little bit, like a few packs, and he took like an extra picture of like a Modern Horizons pack, like a Modern Horizons
the Secret
pack.
Lair too.
No, the Secret Lair came after, but originally he just took like two or three like magic, like loose Modern Horizons 2 boosters, right? Like a little blister of 3 boosters. And that's what he took. And then he was like, oh, just like took a couple of pictures. He didn't think anything of it. He checks later during the day and the post blew up because obviously he didn't comprehend the amount of money he just saw. And then everyone was freaking out, asking him questions, telling him like, you gotta go back. Tell me where it is. Like, I want to go there and find and grab a few boosters myself. And
I would have gotten on a plane, dude. I would have gotten on a plane.
Everyone was like memeing like, on what the guy saw. So the guy saw the thread and he was like, well, okay, I'm just going to go again and check what's up. And then he went back, and what Chris is showing you right now for the viewers who can't see is basically the pictures from the second post that he made. He made an update post on him returning to the landfill and then basically explaining everything, because he kind of left it vague because he didn't think much of it. He didn't think he needed to explain, like, he saw 6 pallets randomly in a landfill. He thought it was like, oh, like a curious little thing, and he just think about it. So he explains in the second thread that he went back to his landfill, and what he's seeing is basically all the cards were destroyed. Basically everything on the pallets were destroyed because both the owner of the landfill and himself, they don't know what's worth. They all think this is trash. If it's there, it's because it's trash. So they just proceeded to destroy all of those boxes, all of those things. And inside, as he started looking, people pointed out that they saw Modern Horizons 2 cards. They saw the Unfinity set. They saw some Secret Lairs. They saw Magic 30, which was kind of surprising. And I'm surprised that a lot of people haven't like acknowledged that very much. And then the guy basically said that he couldn't take anything because it's not his to own. Apparently, it's like a private landfill. So in that instance, apparently you can't just take what you want because apparently it's, you know, owned by the people from the landfill, whatever, because it's private. So he just snuck like a little Secret Lair as a reminder of what could have been. He made like a little joke to himself. It's like, well, I'm just gonna take this little thing of would have, could have, shoulda. He's never gonna sell it. He asked people not to go to the landfill because people were just gonna tell the people the same thing they told him. He implored people not to message him to sell him stuff because people really think that he took pallets for himself. And he's like being earnest by the fact that he doesn't, like, he has a vague understanding of what magic is. I think he probably played when he was younger or something. But he didn't take anything because he didn't know what was worth or like whatever. He didn't think much of it. And that's basically the story of what happened. It's pretty insane.
The amount of merchandise is absolutely insane.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. Like, did I pull it up over here? Yeah, there it is.
I think people pointed out also that the reason why this probably ended up happening might have to do with, you know, the person who it was delivered to. I think either they didn't want to pay the shipping or didn't want to pay for it to be shipped to them or whatever. The other reasoning was that it was like defective product.
Damaged merch.
By looking at the pictures, they didn't look damaged to me, but you know, what can I say?
Yeah, because a lot of times, for example, I think I've been told of like a few places, like big brands, like let's say I don't know, Walmart, for example. Walmart, right? But like let's take Walmart for example, and then for example Walmart gets like a whole, like, you know, gets their 6 pallets merch, and suddenly they notice that maybe during transit or maybe someone messed up on packaging, something like a box is bent or something, and they go like, oh well, you know, since we can't open the product, we don't know if all the rest of the like product is also damaged or something. Like we're gonna like not keep the order. Can't like order cancellations of like a huge order. Maybe this was going out and it was basically already packed up, and since somebody already ordered it and then canceled it, well, these guys decided to destroy it. there's like a number of reasons why this could have happened the way it happened. And keep in mind, this, like, it's not uncommon for any of these things to to have been the reason why.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, you know, the image before us. I know that a lot of people at the beginning kind of attributed it to, like, Wizards doing some weird
shenanigans.
Stuff. I don't know. Yeah, like some kind of shenanigans.
Yeah.
But for now, since honestly we're not working with enough information, I rather attribute it to some kind of, like, mistake, or let's say, like, don't attribute to malice what you can attribute to stupidity. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, that's fair. I'll say that I think the truth might lie somewhere in the middle. It could be the case that it was a defective product. It could be the case that it was just one of those big shipments going to maybe like a Walmart or something, and they were like, it's, you know, like you said, one box was bent, so the Walmart was like, screw it, we don't care about cardboard, and just threw it away. But I still think that this just shows you that regardless of anything, Magic obviously operates on the basis that they believe they're a luxury product, and they are, because we're talking about cardboard.
Yeah.
But they operate as if it was luxury product, and they still obviously push artificial scarcity. Regardless, it's very obvious. Like, you can see pallets of, like, very old product that we think that they didn't reprint, they didn't make more of, but clearly there is, because if they
can we talk about pallets of Time Spiral magically found
exactly
in a warehouse,
exactly, that, which is obviously not true at all.
And like the back in Dominaria United, where the collector boosters, you could get we found some cards from Legends. Yes. You might get some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty obvious that they hold on to a lot of product. A lot of product is obviously not selling, or it sells initially, and then because they're printing so much different stuff, I'm pretty sure this is not the first landfill that's had pallets of Magic. That's, I'll say that much.
No, like, yeah, and like, again, just going back to the same things, like, you know, it keeps pushing the artificial scarcity thing. If you want to make sure that nobody can keep, like, you know, just the saying, I don't know, just like, think that there's some reason to not justify the huge $300 price tag on your product, we'll just destroy some of that's left.
Even the professor himself has mentioned, like, if you, like, when he's reviewing, especially the commander products, when he talks about, like, oh, you know, maybe it's not worth it at this price, usually this, like, $40, but he thinks the value isn't there. He tells you, literally just wait, because it's been proven to every single time, unless there's a card there that's worth, like, $70, every single time, those commander decks usually drop down in price. Because what happens is that people initially buy it because of the hype, or they're very interested in the commander, yada yada yada, and then, you know, the people who are gonna buy it, they're gonna buy it. No one else is gonna buy it, because again, we're bombarded with other products, so we forget about the previous product, and then all these other commander decks that were made basically print to demand potentially, they get left by the wayside. So then they have to market at a discount, and that's even considering the ones that actually got to the stores. We're not even considering the ones that probably got stuck with the distributors because they can't get rid of them. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of product, even probably Master sets, obviously. We're seeing Modern Horizons there. It's very obvious that even Master sets probably have been stuck with distributors for a long time, or some stores buy them, they can't sell them, and they're like, well, I guess we'll hold them off until the future, because eventually they'll probably drive up in price, because people think that there isn't just pallets of these stuff lying around.
Yo, my guys, actually...
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry to cut you off. I actually just remembered a fantastic bit of news. I gotta find a source on it again. But I don't think we mentioned this last time. The amount of cancellations for the Phyrexia All Will Be One complete.
Yes.
Have you guys heard about this?
Yes.
That was today, I think, or yesterday.
Yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you can find it. If you
there
write
were stores,
down that, yeah.
There were stores that were talking about getting like 2% of the product that they ordered.
Yeah.
Which we 2% of the product that you ordered.
It's insane.
They canceled the rest of your stuff.
Yep. I have a theory, like, why.
What is going, if you have a theory, go right ahead, because I'm like, I got stunned by that bit of news. It's insane. I think it's
because of the way that they're going to print the foiling, the really, really special foiling that they wanted to do for the bundle. I think that they stretch themselves to the oil slick thing, right? Isn't the oil slick like super exclusive to the bundle?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Right. No. Right.
The oil slick. Not the Phyrexian. Not the Phyrexian symbols. No. Oil slick.
Right. Because the Phyrexian symbols is like the Pokemon stamp thing that they put before.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the oil slick, we haven't seen them yet. That's the thing. Yeah. We're gonna do that with the lands, and we're gonna do it with like 70 or 80 of the rares and or mythics, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And the problem is, I'm pretty sure the process must have been like very different, very unique, very whatever, and I think they can't do it, and I think that's why they realized eventually, like, oh, we're not gonna be able to make it. Because think about it, when have we ever seen like a product from a standard set being printed like 2 months later, when basically no one's gonna care about Phyrexia, because by the time that bundle comes out, it's almost gonna be March of the Machines anyways. So that's my theory. I think like the weird foiling that they wanted to try, it was too hard to do. They didn't think it through, and now they're canceling everything, because probably a lot of people wanted to buy it because it seemed very exclusive, it seemed very unique, and now they're not going to be able to get their hands of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it also speaks to there being like a huge problem in like how they're running things at Wizards.
Yep. Agree.
Like, some part of the logistics, it's getting absolutely, and pardon my language, fucked up.
Yep, definitely.
It's honestly not the kind of mistake you would expect from a company that is at this like level. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I can see them expecting, like, maybe like if something went horribly wrong, them maybe canceling like 50% of their orders, which is insane. It's an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I don't know. And the other theory that I guess that kind of pops into my head as we like talk about this, right, is maybe Wizards pulling back product to be able to sell closer to market price.
Yeah.
But that's like the super convoluted, like, let me like ultra conspiracy version of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were gonna say something, JP, go ahead.
Yes, a few months ago we were talking about how Wizards of the Coast has become a unreliable seller, and how Bank of America canceled would cancel secret lair orders directly because they would be they're almost considered like a scam. Yeah. Because of all the order cancellations. So it's kind of funny how all the order cancellations were from customers not getting their products in due time, and now Wizard of the Coast is the one canceling the products.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yep, that's true.
I don't know, it just sounds so insane to me that's even like a thing. I guess I don't even know like what much like really say on it, especially just that it's just,
well, it's obviously gonna keep happening. It's progressively gonna get worse because they keep printing so much they can't keep up, and they actually said that they were going to try to address the over producing of products, but it doesn't seem likely, at least not this year. And they did say
they already delayed Phyrexia All Will Be One, because it was going to release in January. True. If you don't remember. True. And they delayed it to February. Then they delayed, because of that delay, March of the Machines is going to come out in April, right? Yep. April to May.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be a bit earlier. So everything's already a bit further back. Maybe they should tone it down even a bit more, but
maybe just push back more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be difficult because they want to sandwich a aftermath set between March of the Machines and
that's only a 50 card set.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, not even then. That's the first time they've done that too, so I don't even know how they're going to approach that, which is also like a new venture.
Yeah, it's also a new venture, but I feel like the original idea is very similar to what the original idea for Crimson Bow and Midnight Hunt was.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Because the original idea between Crimson Bow and Midnight Hunt was a bit more like specialty smaller sets.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up being base. At least they felt like full sets each.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really did.
Because what I was expecting and what was explained from Crimson Bow and Midnight Hunt was it's like a small set with a small set, and when you combine them with a double feature, which was the idea, you get the big set.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then they made a big set and a big set, and then they made the double feature, which was a failure.
A mess. Yes.
A horrible set, and I'm glad they never did it again.
Yep.
So this is like what I assume to be a fixed version of that, as in they're not doing two sets, they're just making a one set and then a feature of 50 cards, and they're all story cards. Yeah. What happens afterwards?
Yeah, yeah. It's a cute idea. I mean, Pokemon does it in Japan. When they do the Americanized version of these Pokemon cards, they basically mesh two little smaller sets together. But Pokemon just do like small sets all the time. So potentially that's what they're going to try to attempt. We'll see how that goes when they do it.
It'd be interesting to see a lot more smaller sets.
I agree.
I feel like it feels a little bit kind of like a scramble, I guess. And the fact that I feel like we're getting a lot of like new little things that Wizards is trying out all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And like the success rates are definitely varying.
I mean, when you think about all the products that Lord of the Rings has, like they have like the two-player deck, they have a bundle, they have the set draft collector, they have like
a starter kit,
right? They have the commander decks. They had what else? They had a bunch of other stuff.
It's probably because they realize how profitable like the IP is. Like if you're gonna be working with an IP that profitable, you might as well break out all the stops.
But then we go to Commander Legends, and I think the professor mentioned this too. Like when they did when they started doing the Legends with the added stuff, it was, I believe, Double Masters had only the draft and collector. When they did Dominaria United, Dominaria Remastered, that was, I think, draft and collector. No, wait, they did collectors and draft. And now with Commander Legends, I believe they're doing all of them. They're doing commander, draft. They're doing commander decks, they're doing draft, they're doing sets and collectors. And they're doing each incrementally, each time they're doing a master set or a remaster set or whatever, they're adding more product. Obviously, because they know Commander, like you said, same thing with Lord of the Rings applies to Commander. They know Commander is going to sell, like the Commander Masters is going to sell very well. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot. And every time, every new set that comes out, or even a remaster set or whatever, it's coming with a bunch of new stuff. And we got to consider, it's a Commander Masters, so technically it should only be a reprint set, but we already know that they're going to print...
They're going to print new stuff in it.
They're going to print new stuff in it because of the Commander decks.
But, yeah, in the Commander decks, I feel like that's fine.
No, but think about it. When they do do that in the collectors, they seed some of those cards in extended art into the collectors.
Not just seeding the cards with extended art into the collectors, but doing the same like BS in which they'll have commander cards which are supposed to like be like,
yes,
like they
also
the weird thing they do where it's supposed to be like commander cards, but then they appear like in the main set. I feel like they're probably going to do something similar with that, like either it's going to be something along the lines of the list again or something, like
which the list is going to be in the set boosters, because obviously there's going to be, that's the whole point. So they're going to have that too. And eventually, like the project booster fun is going to be booster. Oh my God, why? It's getting to that point. It's just so many different things in every booster.
Honestly, at this point, part of the issue when you buy boosters, honestly, it's the amount of common and uncommon slots, and the fact that most of those commons or uncommons are exclusively good for draft.
Yeah.
It really sucks that there's not a lot of stuff that falls into the uncommon slots, for example, that is sometimes like super useful. Mm-hmm. And getting rid of some of that chaff, maybe for your set or collector's boosters, is like definitely the way to go. Because I don't want, you know, commons or uncommon slots to get eliminated. It's not like we can only get like, you know, ridiculous cards in every booster, but I don't know. I feel like there's got to be some way to balance out your set boosters and your collector's product boosters in a way in which you feel like you're getting more out of it, I guess.
Well, they did like double masters, which had two rare and or mythics. That was a way to kind of like make it more bang for your buck. But then they were like, they hiked the price up. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what the solution would be, because obviously they want, at least for the draft boosters, they obviously want to have it for a draft environment. That's why the set booster exists. Where they include, I think, less commons and uncommons, so they can have like different variants of their commons and uncommons, and then have more shots at mythics, rares, and the list cards. So I guess the set booster was supposed to be the solution to that problem, but as you said, it's still inevitably going to include uncommons and commons, because you kind of have to, because then you would have to jack up the price even further. But then you get to the thing like collector boosters, but then collector boosters, like you said, it's just a bunch of foils of commons and uncommons and lands, and then I'm not really getting that value.
I'm just saying, I do think that Wizards should just go back to like that thing they used to have back in the day, in which you would just pay like $100 or something and you get like the whole set, just like,
oh, just, yeah, remember one card of each
set. I mean, I don't remember it because I never saw that. I was like, I was too small, or just not into Magic at the time, right? But that sounds like some of the greatest things a card game could possibly do. I would assume it's gonna hurt their corporate wallets, but it just seemed like the best way to go. You need like just drop $400, get all the get like four, like a play set of each card in the set, and that's it.
Yep.
That would be amazing. So much easier,
indeed.
Definitely, like you could, like people can just dish out money if they want to have the whole card pool, or you can have like people who just like buy the whole card pool, and everyone just kind of trades off what they need. I don't know, man. I don't know why that formula stopped. Maybe it's just less profitable, and I kind of get that. But at the same time, I feel like it kind of doesn't matter what Wizards does in that angle, like whether they give you all the cards in the set or not. People are still going to buy booster boxes.
Yeah.
Like, either people just like cracking packs, other people just love to draft. Like, whenever I get the chance to, I do like to draft. I just haven't had a lot of chances to. Not bad at it. But I don't know, like buying boosters isn't something that's going to die anytime soon, because people love to gamble regardless, and gambling is just, it's an addictive sensation. I want everyone to like that's hearing this to just think, when's the last time that you weren't excited to open like a booster? Not because you didn't like, even if when you know the contents of a booster are garbage, you at least think to yourself, yeah, but what if I like, but what if, what if I just get the one thing, like, you know, hey, what if I do open up like, what's it called, like double feature booster, and I get a Hullbreaker Horror in it, like,
that's true,
you know, like even if it's the trashest set, like you'll still do it,
especially if it's a trash set, because it's not worth that much a booster.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, guys. If I'm being completely honest here, at least when it comes to the subjects that we have gone over through the week, I'm running a little bit out of steam. This week felt a little bit slow for Magic. Really big, really important things that made like a lot of noise, but at the same time, not a lot to say about them, considering how like active past weeks have been.
Speaking of noise,
ooh,
I have one thing, another thing. Ooh. And I think I brought the two controversial things forward, so might as well. Like the first controversial thing, which was the Aragorn thing. Yeah. Now I'm bringing the second controversial thing.
Go ahead.
Playing with Power, MTG, and Eminem's events made an hosted an event called Mox Masters, in which they hosted a tournament.
Yep.
The winner of said tournament is a known player with abusive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
During that tournament, there was a lot of misgendering and harassment due to part of several different sources.
Yeah.
And even though they addressed it, I feel like Magic should not be anything. Like, if anything, Magic should be a very, very inclusive and very open to all aspects and all different ideologies in life and all different types of people. So there is no space for harassment, misgendering, any type of abusive behavior whatsoever. Just wanted to mention out that they did handle it during the event, after the event, and it happened. So it's just something that's it's unfortunately a part of society, but it should not be a part of society.
Mm-hmm.
It's just difficult to sometimes manage who comes into your space sometimes, especially with, like, you know, something as big as Magic. It's something that really has to be dealt with on the spot and nipped at the bud, because regardless, like, you know, at the end of the day, tournaments are supposed to judge the quality of, like, player with, like, strategy wise and all that. They usually aren't like judges of character, but it's just difficult to sometimes see someone who, like, you know, like, whose character is easily put into question, and then they're, like, at the top of this tournament, and you're just kind of like, well, that bothers me. It bothers me that they were allowed to continue, especially when they demonstrated having behavior that is just abusive behavior towards other players.
Yeah,
you know.
There's obviously
nipped in the bud. Like, it's something that you when you catch the offense, you got to do something about it. If not, well, just give the opportunity of, like, the people keep moving forward and just acting like this in those spaces without any repercussions.
I agree. I think you know, like, there's etiquette in terms of, like, how you present yourself to other players when you're in tournaments, when you're playing with others. There's an etiquette, and there's a sense of respect among other players. And, you know, if you're not abiding by those social norms, social rules, then yeah, people should consider the fact that, you know, you should do something about that. They should talk about that. They should address it. And if that person keeps being abhorrent, then they should throw that person off, you know.
Yeah. Well, that person got banned. Just
okay, that's good.
Yeah, but my issue in general is the fact that the person was still allowed to continue, because it really sucks for the person to, like, get to the end of the tournament and win the tournament and then get, like, banned and sanctioned. Like, honestly, that feels bad. I'd rather just ban them mid-tournament and then just have, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just the way I see it. But you know, it doesn't really change. Like, the general opinion doesn't change. This person was shitty. I just think they should have dealt with it before they got the chance to, like, win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well then, guys. I know about you guys, but it's been a long week. I'm tired. So yeah. I think we're gonna end things here. Although, awesome. Before we start doing the leaving, I want to remind everybody that we have a merch store. We have amazing shirts with stuff like Only Lands, Revolutionizing Your Mulligan. You can do it with the tagline, without the tagline. Really cool stuff. We got stuff like Will You Pay the One, and other really cool designs that are coming up. So, you know, go ahead and check us out. Other than that, remember, we got our Alter Sleeves link. I'll go ahead and play the little video a little later again, because I always enjoy putting it in there. Just if you want to spice up your commander deck, you want to get 5% off of your next order, so you can, like, you know, your first order, when you go ahead and spice that stuff up, just use our code Cardboard Cave Podcast, and you know, just make your commander decks look spicy. Get yourself a Thrasios with Tiggle Biddies, and also remember that we have, I think that's next week, actually, we have our first collab of 2023 with the one and only Joseph Johnson, aka Black Nito. It's been featured on Table Talk Jocks. Cool stuff. I'm actually super excited about this. I did not expect this to be our first collab, so I'm cool. Like, mega excited.
Yeah.
So real quick, JP, where can the people find you?
The people can find me here at the Cardboard Cave Podcast. How about you, Orengo?
You can find me here with you guys talking about cardboard in a landfill in Texas or by wizards. And sometimes it's the same thing. But you can also find me at Cinema Podcast, where we talk about movies. And yeah, just find me over there on YouTube, Twitter, all that stuff. But Chris, where can the people find you?
You can find me here at the Cardboard Cave Podcast. You can sometimes find me on Twitch. You'll be able to interact with me through our Twitter and all of our social media, really. Like, just write to us. Let's do something. Creators out there, Magic the Gathering players, let's do something. Let's play some Magic. Let's make content together. I would love that. Let's get some talking. Alejandro, since you are more in tune, like, since you are like more aware of all of John's projects, where can the people find John now, since unfortunately he wasn't able to make it here with us?
Yeah, you can find John also talking about Suicide Cardboard, but if not, you can find him in Reel In Films on Instagram. He's on Twitter. He has a webpage. He also talks about movies. He does interviews too. It's on YouTube, so check him out.
All right, guys. And speaking of, remember, you guys can check us out, like, not just here on Twitch or whichever platform you'll be watching us in. Find us on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify if you just want to, like, you know, give us a listen while you're going out for a walk. You can find us in just all the podcast platforms. You can find us everywhere. So look for us everywhere. Give us your support so that we can keep making awesome, awesome content for you guys. I love all of you. All of my hosts, all of our listeners, all of our viewers. See you all in the next one.
Remember to follow, like, subscribe to be notified, and as well listen to us on all major audio platforms. Thanks for joining.